joining us in studio, as he does every Friday at this time. We are very happy to have Lorenzo Alexander in here for the lowdown. Hi, Lorenzo.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
You okay?
I'm good.
Your energy's not Friday. Lagging at all?
Huh?
Your energy's not lagging? You're good? You're feeling good?
Yeah, I feel great. Okay. I mean, it's Friday afternoon. I'm about to go get another massage therapy here in a minute, and I got date night with my daughter tonight. So, I'm good. Cool. I'm in a good spot.
What's on the docket for date night?
I think we're going to go. My cousin works over at the Cheesecake Factory, so I'm going to probably take her over there so I can slide in there and then do Dave and Buster's with her.
Excellent. Hey, can I ask you, I was reading the story about Larry Fitzgerald, a former
Oh, yeah,
King
I was about to mention that, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me, what?
It's an inspiration.
I texted him
last night. I was like, man, you're his true inspiration, dude, because this is year 14 for him. He's not slowing down. And for a team to want to sign, obviously what he means to that team and organization is you know, out of this world. But most teams, when you see an agent player, they don't want to sign you back. They're going to sign him back and pay him $11 million because he's playing at an elite level.
It's crazy.
And it's just it's awe-inspiring. So I had to text him and say, man, I'm proud of you. You know, it's pretty impressive.
Did he get back yet?
Huh?
Did he get back to you yet?
No, he'll text me like in 2 or 3 days. That's how he operates.
Well, he's probably got a million
dollars. I had an opportunity to train with him for a week out there in Arizona. And when you watch him train, you know, a guy who has really done everything in this league. I mean, this league, he hasn't won a Super Bowl, right?
No.
So that's what he's still really trying to get to. But he has done everything else in this league. When you watch him train, I mean, he pays attention to detail, you know. And I remember, like, it was probably about 40 of us from around the league all out there training. He had, like, 3 trainers, and he was running the entire show. And he's like, I'm like, why do you even have trainers here? You might as well just train us yourself, you know. But that's the type of guy he is.
Yeah.
He pays attention to detail. When he's running routes, you can see it on the field. He runs it so crisp, and that's why he's still playing the way he is right now.
I had one exposure to Larry Fitzgerald. It was last year. You guys beat him last September here, 2016.
Oh, yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my buddy, you know, Mark Dalton, my buddy works
Mark,
for the Cardinals.
Yep, good people.
And he introduces me to him in the locker room. Now, the Bills had just beaten the Cardinals pretty badly.
Yeah.
Larry Fitzgerald stopped what he was doing, looked me in the eye, shook my hand. How are you, John, if you're a friend of Mark Dalton?
Yeah.
I mean, this guy is special, isn't he?
Yeah, he has great perspective on life. I mean, he's a football player, but he's a great human being. Yeah. Obviously, he's been up for Walter Payton Man of the Year. I'm not quite sure if he's won it. Oh, he won it last year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he's a great all-the-way-around guy, and he's one of the best that this league has ever produced or, you know, has been in this league.
Yeah, you're friends with him. Do you know what he wants to do after?
Yeah, that's what I'm just
I mean, he's all over the place. I mean, he does a lot of traveling now, a lot of philanthropy work. He's a photographer.
Yeah.
I mean, the world is his oyster. I mean, he's made, obviously, a lot of money, so he can do whatever he wants to, but I know he's going to want to be able to give back, serve the community, as well as travel the world. He has 2 beautiful sons, so obviously spend a lot more time with them. And
because
they're going to getting older. I think his oldest is probably around 5 or 6 now, maybe a little bit older than that.
Okay.
Maybe Zoe's age. So, you know, just hanging out with them.
Young,
you know, still young, and, you know, they're going to start playing ball and doing all those things. So being a daddy whenever he decides he wants to hang it up.
You know, you think about, and I was going to ask that question, because what does a guy like do that when he's done playing football? You know what he could do? He could be president of the United States. I really believe that.
If he wanted to.
He could be,
I don't know if he has that, you know, the politics side can wear people out.
What?
You know, you know.
His dreads would be all great.
I'd vote for him tomorrow.
Yeah, he's a great dude.
All right. Well, thanks, Lorenzo. Thanks for coming on and telling us.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah. Larry Fitzgerald, one of the best.
The Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander. Let's talk a little bit about the major, before we get to your keys, obviously the game, the big upheaval, the big story.
Well, before we get to the big, well, I guess. No,
let's
get to this story
first.
Get to this story first. You guys are traveling. You're traveling out west, right?
Yeah.
So how tough is it for you as a player now to travel on a Saturday and go 5 hours to the West Coast to play a game?
I mean, the hardest part is just sitting on the plane. And then, you know, being tight, not being able to get any great sleep, so it kind of messes up your rhythm a little bit. But when I was with Oakland, they used to do this great protocol after we had long flights where you would, like, kind of reactivate your system, stretch your central nervous system. So I actually do it every week, and I even make it more of a adamant to put it in my regimen once we land, whether it's before or after meetings, just to kind of activate my system again, like I'm about to get ready to compete, and then I'll do, like, a Normatec just to get my body somewhat recovered from that 4 or 5 hour flight. So it's hard to do, but I've kind of figured out a system that best fits me.
I was talking to Sean McDermott about it today, and he did mention he thought it was important as you guys travel west to let you guys, players, sleep in your own beds tonight. So that, you know, you can go a day early, but then you're kind of a little more disruption.
Yeah, right? Well, there's been, you know, a lot of guys like to go 2 days early, maybe get kind of acclimated to the weather or the time difference. But, I mean, science has shown that it really doesn't make a difference. It's actually better to go that one day because your body starts changing over and then you're coming right back. So it's actually more hurtful to go 2 days versus one day.
Right, right.
But at the same time, I kind of lost my train of thought there. That really happens.
Football. It'll do that to you.
Yeah, so, I mean, I've done it both ways. We did last year when it was one day and we won the game. And I just like it better like that. It's actually harder on my body when we go that extra day.
Yeah.
All right, the big story around here these days is the quarterback change. How did you get word of that and what did you think when you heard it?
Well, we have this early meetings, Morton, on both Wednesday and Thursday. And Coach Sean McDermott, after our signal callers had our meeting, he kind of held over a couple of the leaders that sit on the leadership council and told us and informed us. And then right in the team meeting right after, he let everybody else know. But apparently he had talked to Tyrod the day before to let him know, give him the respect, you know, just to let him know what was going on. And, you know, you can't do nothing but appreciate the way he did it, you know, up front, letting you know what's going on. And you don't find out, you know, through the media or ESPN.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It's a leak and, it kind of pops up in the tweet. And you like, man, I ain't even talked to him yet, which has happened,
sure,
you know, throughout the times. So, you know, that's kind of how we found out as a team.
Now we're a few days into it. How are the players responding to that? What do they think?
We're just rallying around Nate. I mean, obviously, there's nothing we can do as far as, even we all want Tyrod. You can't dwell in that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously, we all respect him as a player and what he does, but there's been a decision made, and now we have to kind of move on. And he's doing a good job as well, helping Nate preparing us on the defense. We have to rally around that, and, you know, defensively, we have to just step our game up and help Nate, Tyrod, whoever's back there, give them the most advantageous. So we have to worry about our jobs. We can't dwell about what that decision has done because then you can kind of lose focus and continually kind of be in this spiral that we've been in the last couple of weeks.
You know, I've had some tweets on this, and people say, well, if you sit the starting quarterback and put in the rookie, that puts everybody else on notice. I would think with this team, that doesn't really matter. You're just trying to win games.
Yeah. I mean, I don't feel like I'm, you know, my job is at stake. I mean, I think at the end of the day, you realize that the actions that you have can affect people on your team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because let's be honest, if the defense plays better and we win those games, Tyrod is still starting.
Mm-hmm.
So it just makes me want to be even more accountable to my teammates, you know, not necessarily just Tyrod, but just everybody out there, because by me missing a play or somebody else missing a play, it can hurt somebody else and their job in the future or whatnot, because it all ties in because we're a team. And
and
anytime you're in a leadership role, whether it's head coach, quarterback, you take a lot of the blame and probably take too much of the credit as well. And that's just the nature of the business when you're in that leadership role. So we just want to go out there and play the best for our team, you know, and regardless whoever the quarterback is, because we know if we play as a defense at the top of our level, it's going to be hard to beat us.
Tyrod's on that leadership council. He's a captain, right?
Yeah,
and I have to say, been around here for a little bit, I've never seen anybody handle those type of things better than Tyrod Taylor has.
Yes, it's hard to do.
Publicly.
I mean, it's hard to do. I mean, you know, you have a lot of pride, a lot of work you put in the offseason, energy. You know, you've been the guy. You know, you probably feel a certain type of way privately, and you have to, you know, be a professional and kind of rise above all that and do what's best for other people. And it's hard to do because, you know, obviously we've seen out through this league, some guys is like, it's all about me and I don't care, you know, about this team. I'm going to let you know it. I'm going to let the media know how I feel and everybody else. But he's done a great job preparing all week, being the same guy. And, I mean, I think that's the ultimate tell of what type of leader he is.
How has Nathan looked in practice?
Nate looks good. I mean, you know, obviously nobody can hit him now,
right.
But he what I like about Nate, he gets the ball out quick. He's very decisive, and then he has a great demeanor about himself. You know, I don't really feel like he's shook that he's starting this week or the a moment can be too big or a situation can be too big for him, and that's what you want out of a young guy, because honestly he's probably gonna get hit. I mean, they have some pretty good pass rushers, and it's all about how does he respond. And I think the way or who he is going to allow him to overcome those instances where he has faced some adversity to stand back up and make some plays for us.
It is the Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander as we go through Lorenzo's keys, his thoughts about Sunday's matchup, the Bills and the Chargers. Well, let's start with your Lowdown and start with what you think has to happen. And starts with basically you guys on defense.
Right. I mean, I think every point up here is about the defense. It's very simple, back to fundamentals, back to the very basics of football, and it's about stopping the run, which we have not been able to do the last two outings, and that's all about, you know, getting off blocks, using your hands, tackling, and tackling in swarms. You know, people talk about the missed tackles and But we've had missed tackles all year. The difference is that you have multiple bodies flying in on guys. So if one guy misses it, another guy is there to clean it up.
Yeah.
And happens, you know, throughout the league all the time since the beginning of the time. You know, people earlier in the week were talking about, so what about, OTAs? They're trying to find a reason, an excuse for it. And it's just all about guys getting back to the fundamentals, getting off the blocks, fitting where they need to fit, not trying to do too much, and making plays together.
You know, I know you play in the league, you get paid to do a job, right? And so you're having fun out there playing. Mm-hmm. But do you guys get to a certain point, and I know this, but for the people listening, do you get to a certain point in the season where, okay, we're getting into the season now, my body is sore every
right.
single week, so now guys might not be – flying to the ball full speed like they were in the beginning of the season because you're fresh and I'm ready to play.
I don't know if that affects you on Sunday. Mm-hmm. I know during the week, I know for me, I'm not moving as fast as I probably was in practice week 1, 2, 3, and 4 mm-hmm. Just because now I'm in the thick of things. I'm an older guy. But I still do early outs, focus on the fundamental things that when I am there out on Sunday, I can play fast, I can connect just because I've been doing it so long, so it's more muscle memory. So I
right.
do things like that just to make sure my fundamentals are good. And then you just try to go out there and play as fast as you can. So mm-hmm. during the week, it may affect you a little bit just because of the soreness, but Sundays, you forget all about it. You know, as I say before, you know, you pop a couple of pills and
yeah.
juiced up from the excitement about to go play, and you go out and lay it on the line.
Lorenzo, like my uncle. Before we go bowling,
yeah.
my uncle, like, I got to take these a lead. Hold
yeah.
on.
Yeah, I mean, it just is what it is. It's how we got to play, you know.
You mentioned getting back to basics, to fundamentals. Coach Frazier, Leslie Frazier said something, I want to say Monday this week about that. He talked about almost getting back into a training camp mentality as far as fundamentals and the bare bones of what you're doing.
Yeah, well, I think because like you said, when you get through the thick of the season and running, you really don't have a lot of time. So one of the first things that is cut down is individual time. So individual time maybe go from 15 minutes to 5 minutes. You hit some quick things, and then you're just getting into the scheme. What are they doing so we can play fast and understand mm-hmm. how they're trying to attack us? And with that, if you don't have time or you don't have the schedule or the routine of maybe coming out as a player, staying after, working on some of those things that you're going to need, using your hands, whether it's pass rush moves, whether it's breaking on balls, catching balls as a DB, whatever that may be that's going to help you still play at a high level. If you don't have that in your routine, some of those things can start to wane and get a little rusty. So that's what he meant by returning to, I guess, training camp mode. We kind of extended our individual time to work on some of those fundamentals that are going to lead to us shoring up some of these explosive plays that we've been giving up by not fitting the run properly.
Now, for you as an individual player, would you rather extend the individual period to work on those fundamentals or stay in that game plan mode?
I mean, it depends. I mean, I think because the issue is being like team-wide, it's not just like one or two guys. It's a different guy on every play that
yeah.
has been fundamentally unsound.
Mm-hmm.
You have to kind of return to that. I think if it's a guy here, a guy there, like a couple of weeks I wasn't tackling well, so I just worked on some things by myself just so I can kind of get back into it.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a coach's decision. He recognizes how widespread the issue is. And if it's more than one or two guys, then you do have to address it the way you practice.
Lowdown with Lorenzo Alexander, his number one lowdown, stop the run. Number two, you don't want to give up big plays. And with Phillip Rivers, these guys can be capable of making big plays.
Right, and it really ties into, like I said earlier, by stopping the run, coming off tackling well, not allowing those you know, 3 or 4 yard plays to turn into 20, 25, as we saw Ingram and Kamara do to us last week.
Mm-hmm.
And then once you're able to stop the run and hone in on that, and Phillip Rivers wants to throw the ball around to some of his guys, Keaton Allen being one of those guys, a Cal guy that's been doing well in this league, Antonio Gates, then you can pin your ears back and rush the pass or affect him to where he can't get the ball down the field, because their offensive line has struggled as well, has some injuries in and out, some shuffling of the guys, and they haven't found that chemistry quite yet. So as defenders, as rush ends and defensive tackles, you know, we all want to get the sacks. The fans want to get pressure. But if we haven't stopped that run, then we can't do it. So that's why we got to stop the run. Then we can pin our ears back and then affect the quarterback.
Phillip Rivers came into the league right around the time you did.
Yeah, he's a year older than me. I think he came in 2004.
Have you gone up against him a lot in your career?
When I was with the Raiders, we played him right. twice. And I think I've probably played him two or three other times, because the majority of my career I've been in the NFC. So we don't face him, you know, on a yearly basis.
He's probably the most outspoken quarterback in the league. Like, he'll get in your face, talk trash and everything.
Yeah, he'll do that. I mean, but he's a quarterback,
yeah.
You know.
You.
I've seen some things he's done on film, too, where he kind of some phantom flops and, you know, he's trying to draw you. And I've been around him a little bit, you know, so he's a good dude. But, you know, he's trying to find any competitive advantage mm-hmm. to where he's going to draw a 15-yard penalty. You get in his face, touch him, oh, I'm a flop. Then, you know, he's a quarterback. So he plays to that a lot. But if we hit him, we'll be fine, I think.
He has some elements that remind me of the Hall of Fame quarterback who played here, Jim Kelly, in terms of competitiveness and toughness. He seems like he's a little bit like that. Have you found that to be the case?
Okay. I guess. I don't know. I don't know.
You've said a lot.
We'll see Sunday. That's a lot to say, Jim Kelly. I guess you compared him to one of the greats of all time.
Talking
so
about
I don't,
in terms
you know.
Of toughness and okay.
You put him to Jim Kelly. I mean, that's the
that.
The standard I'm putting him against right now.
Okay, all right. You said a lot there. Lowdown topic number three. What happened to the takeaways? You had 15 takeaways in 5 games, and you won 4 of those 5, and you had 1 in the last 2. What happened?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. I mean, I think a lot of it was not being able to stop the run. I mean, a lot of those takeaways are interceptions. You know, Jordan and Micah back there ball hawking once we know the run is stuff. Now they have to come up, play the run, and not do what their strength is as far as ball hawking, playing in coverage, and doing those things on the back end. So, again, it all goes back to stopping the run. Once you can do that, you can disguise on the back end, confuse quarterbacks, and they throw balls up. Defensive ends, tackles, rushing the pass can hit them and get some balls fluttering.
Yeah.
And that's when you get the takeaways. Obviously, we had one last week, and it's harder to, force a fumble than, you know, maybe pick one off.
Is Phillip Rivers the type of quarterback? We know he likes to throw it all around the field. Does he have a lot of confidence, gunslinger mentality, where he'll give you some?
Oh, he's going to throw it. I mean, he has confidence in who he is. I mean, he is one of the greats, you know, at least of my generation playing the game mm-hmm. and has a lot of confidence in all his guys, Keenan Allen and Tony Gates, who I mentioned earlier, who he believes if he puts it up, those guys are going to come down with the ball. So, but at the same time, you know, and it's kind of been a new trend, you know, guys not wanting to take sacks, he'll still try to throw the ball and leave it up in the air for guys that, you know, 50-50 balls the guys can come down with.
Hey, Lorenzo, I mentioned to Donald the other day, I think just yesterday, how this season, and we're only 9 games in, it's been like a roller coaster for the Bills. Do you feel that? I mean, I almost feel mentally exhausted with the moves, the personnel moves, the tremendous highs, some deep lows, including last Sunday. Do you feel that, or is it just me?
I mean, I think this is just the regular ebbs and flows of the season. As far as the adversity, you know, wins and losses, I guess it's added when you have the trades of some guys, some top-end guys. You know, you think about Sammy and Marcel. You got a new coaching staff. So I guess in that aspect, but I don't think affects us as much as the wins and losses and how you may necessarily lose. Because that other part is part of football, and this is going to – you got to deal with it. Now, when you out there playing a game and you get your butt whooped, that I think, to me, affects me differently than maybe trading a guy.
Now you got me worried that there's a hangover from that butt whooping, as you called it last Sunday too.
No, I'm just saying. It's at that time. I mean, when you're dealing with, I mean, I don't feel it now. We're past it. We moved on. But the effect, you know, the day that Marcel got traded, and then going out there and get somebody physically whooping me, you know, as a team, then I think that's just it's more personal because it's me. Yeah, it's just different.
Yeah.
You know, Marcel's issue is different then because I'm affected by it, but I'm not versus somebody running the ball down our throat.
I just was about to
say. You know what I'm saying?
You know, you lose a game because Drew Brees is throwing it all around the field. That's one thing.
Right.
But when they can just run the ball,
that's
the ball.
That's the worst.
That's just like slow.
Right.
Just like gut shots, you know what I mean? Body shots. Like if you watch boxing and somebody just keeps taking body shots instead of the big.
Just knock me out, man. Just knock me out. Stop. You're torturing me.
Right.
I'm impressed by the way you two got along today on this segment.
We get along great. We're brothers.
That's what he said, yeah.
Yeah.
He said you were the big brother, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm older.
Okay.
I own it.
I own it.
Thanks, Lorenzo. Good luck Sunday.
Yeah, I appreciate it.